Welcome this morning. And unlike Reed, how to shout without speaking, we're going to talk about how to shout without screaming today. I thought that was hilarious. I was listening back there. I'm going, speaking, how do you do that? I appreciate these two. And every morning they're up. They're getting you guys fired up, right? They're getting you guys fired up. It's Sunday. It's the end of your week for some of you. Some of you, it's the beginning of your week. And some of you even leave early before the service is over because you start your day. You have a company that's opening up or a boat to catch. So for some, it's the end. For some, it's the beginning. Either way, you made it. Thank you for being here this morning. And we do finish up something today. And without going any further, I want to say thank you to our incredible production staff made up of Natalie, Natalie, and Natalie. You need to meet Natalie. She's like the trilogy here, the three in one. This is what it looks like, and this is where I'm going. You're actually looking at what I'm looking at. If you don't have a pen, Michael has tons of them. Pens are important. I believe some people take them when they're over, so that's how I know they're important. But the thing we want you to focus on is really, do you have a chance to hear something from God's Word that maybe I don't say? You know, He's opening up all different avenues in your heart and in the filter of your heart, which we believe is the mind. And as you hear things, write those in, okay? I don't mean what I say necessarily. More than that, I'm talking about when you're hearing something, I mean hearing something deeper, pause for a minute and write that down. Give yourself a journal during this service that really fits where God's taking you. The Holy Spirit's in charge. We've asked Him to be. I heard the prayer up on stage, and I'm counting on that. I'm counting on you and the Spirit being one this morning, walking in step with Him. So your pen isn't just to fill in the blanks. It's to fill in the blanks of where He is going. And sometimes I see people, and they're just writing names down, like you did a few weeks ago with this paper behind me, which I'll get to in a minute. And you're just jotting some things down. Just somebody came to mind. A situation this week that came to mind. Maybe it's not your grocery list, hopefully. But there's things, and I encourage you to write those down. The enemy is always there. And when you leave away from a prayed-up environment, you better believe that what he wants to do is to kill, steal, and destroy, lie, all those things, but especially those ideas and those things that the Holy Spirit's putting into play. When you write things down, you come back, you recall. And I know that that helps. And Natalie, thank you so much. That is a killer photo of our island. You know, none of this stuff is Googled up. This is home base. We make our own postcards around here. It's really pretty. Evangelism. Shouting with your words today. And I'm going to hopefully finish this one up today because I want to see it go into practice. That's the reason. I don't want to finish it for any other reason than I'd love to see this stuff actually going. My name is Pastor Andrew. Welcome to the 10:30 service this morning. There is a lot at stake when it comes down to sharing. And there's a lot at stake, meaning there's ways that you could go about it. And there's ways that I go about it personally that can either help someone or it could destroy a great opportunity. Amen? Yeah, and when you shout, that's okay. When you scream, maybe not so okay. My voice is going to go up and down all day today. I had a huge game yesterday over town. Against Saddleback, and I got another one tomorrow with Pacifica, and I'm in between yelling for 80 straight minutes, which would be 164, and I'm, you know, it's a coach's voice this time of the year, so I've got to be careful that I'm neither shouting or screaming this morning, but sometimes preaching can become that because you're passionate about what you hear. This is one of those sermons. Words and communicating are everything. And when I think of evangelism, you know, in the past, sometimes I think of these guys with crazy hair. We call it pastor's hair. It's hairsprayed. Maybe it's perfect. I don't know. I think of evangelism. I did not put that second photo up. That was a Gina thing, Ron, just letting you know. She had some fun with that one last night. And I clear the air with that one. She goes, how about Ron? We got good photos out there. Love that one. And I remember one time when I was in Atlanta. And this was 8 years ago. I was at a workers' convention there. There was a lot of people, thousands of people gathered. Atlanta's a big hub for ministry. And I'm in this convention. I noticed outside some picketers. And I was like, this is a workers' convention for ministry, and people are picketing. This should be interesting. And I remember looking outside our hotel room, and these people were picketing what they believe for us to live more like Old Testament and by those rules. They believe that we as pastors have become worldly. I read signs addressing dressing too much in style and using too stylish verbiage, things like that. What they're saying is that we've gone the way of the world to come back to what God wants of us. Sounds good, but I don't really want to wear a robe and sandals on Sunday morning. I like the way that I look, and I'm comfortable. Just like that security guard a few weeks ago looked at me and goes, "You don't look like a pastor." And I had a chance to look at him and say, "Well, you don't look like a security guard either, but I know you got a job to do." You know, sometimes there are people that really expect something where God says, "I look at the heart. I look at the heart." That's the outward appearance. But Paul does say to be all things to all people. And at times when you're looking at that verse, you say, how can I help reach someone versus offend someone, such as other cultures? I know when I've been to certain places, even in the Bahamas, which was very close to where I lived in Florida, they were easy out trips, out and back, that there were services that we attended or things that we did. We built a house and then we'd attend something, and there was a certain dress so as not to offend those in their community where we were serving. And there was a thought behind that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what we get tainted, so to speak, is a picture of what evangelism really is all about. It's a very simple message. But boy, do we make things complex and get screwed up. If you're a Christian, what evangelism really is, sharing your faith, the good news. You know, last week and the week before, just explaining good news. The fact that God loves you. And even bigger, He wants a relationship with you. He's forgiven you and has a place for you. That's good news. So how do you shout without screaming? First of all, a good friendship we're reviewing here. I'm bringing those that haven't been here in the last couple weeks right up to where we're at. A good friend. Becoming a good friend. Because if you're a good friend, others are going to listen to you. The foundation's been set. Amen? Right? There's a foundation there. You have something to work with. If you're a horrible friend, people aren't caring what you have to say because they realize you don't care about them. But if you're a good friend, they're going to want to listen. And then we talked a little bit about lifestyle. A good life. People want to look and go, "I want what you got." There's something about who you follow. Can you introduce me to that thinking? I don't have it all together mentally or emotionally or spiritually. I want to follow someone who does. And I know that you're just a person. There's something deeper about where you're going in your life. Who is this Jesus that you talk about? What is it I need to do? Give me that good news. And believe it or not, most people, they're not going to walk up to you on the street and go, "Hey, are you a Christian? Okay. Will you please tell me about Jesus?" That'd be great, but that's not necessarily something that's ever happened to me. That most likely is not going to happen. They're watching. They're watching your life. This makes sense, doesn't it? That's a question. All right. Sounds really simple, doesn't it? But we forget that our lifestyle matters. So when it comes to being a good friend, let me review you really quickly. Good friends are few. Good friends are few. They're reliable. Interested in others. Encouraging. They notice others' weaknesses, but they're willing to help them grow. They demonstrate love. And however that looks, for guys it may be a little different than ladies. But they go for it. They show love. This is what it means to be a good friend. Are you a good friend? This is what we broke down last week with lifestyle. Friendship was first. Lifestyle was second last week. What it means to live a good Christian life. Is your life attractive to others? Is there laughter there? Joy. Can they sense it? Are you living a life that's full of internal beauty and confidence? Last week I had to explain some of where internal beauty looks in my family. The joy of having a marriage to someone who's internally very confident. The inward beauty's there. And I was so thankful for my wife, but I explained out what the strengths were about her that were positive in my life. It overflowed into me over years of marriage and what that looked like. It's very attractive. Are you living a life that's full of faith in the Word of God? The Word of God. Faith in that Word. It's enduring through tough times. Oh man, I've had some tough times lately, and I'm not out of them yet. And I'm looking to see those few friends in my life that step up during the tough times. I know you do too. And I'm not sure when I'll be out of tough times. Maybe it'll be longer than I expect. But those few friends will be riding that wave with me the entire time. They're not going to get off. They're not going to check out. When tough times are there, they're there to support you. They're there to pick you up. They're there to give you the confidence that you need. Little things that make a big difference in your life. What we're going to do this week is we're going to dive into important words. Communication. How it looks. And I want to suggest to you today, and I had to deal with this just 2 days ago on my own soccer team. I got some incredible captains. And a handful of them are very young. Very, very young. Meaning their game is together, but their skills of character are still growing. Their game is together. They've got the game down. But how they talk to each other, it's just a level of growth that's needed. And I love that. That's where I kick out of coach and I become shepherd. And it's a lot of fun because I make them think, how would you like to be spoken to? How would you receive that? And what does it look like? And I want to suggest that what's important is really not what you say as much as what? How you say it. What you say, not more important than how you say it. You've heard me in the past, I said this once, and you've heard this growing up. Sticks and stones, right? Sticks and stones, brother. Words will never hurt me. I've been crushed by words. That's junk. In fact, words of affirmation are one of my love languages. I need some of that stuff. And I know one person in my life will be honest with me. That's my wife. Okay? She's there for me. And sometimes people come up and they'll say, it's nice to have you here today. Or they'll say something in regards to the message or how it went. And I'll go home and I'll say, yeah, you know, I was exhausted today. How'd you think things went today? Be honest. Okay? And she'll say, it was fine, you know. And I'll be like, be honest, you know. And she'll be like, it wasn't really your best, you know. Just knowing whatever the delivery looked like. She's there for me. But words are important. They communicate something. So as a Christian, if you're a Christian, the friends that you have, the friend that you are, the lifestyle that you live, the words that you say, all very, very important. We're going to dive into that later today. I want to share with you your faith is so important too. What you believe is important. I grew up understanding that I had grandparents and great-grandparents that were involved in ministry. I had a great-grandfather that was a pastor, a circuit rider in a Methodist church, rode a horse and would go from a very small country church where there was nothing but a dirt trail, and he'd go to another country church and spend Sunday speaking at various hours of the day in various churches, traveling about 10 to 15 miles as a circuit riding pastor. He lived to be 103, and he was a pastor. So I thought, you know, at a very young age, I wonder if this stuff is in my blood. And certainly my brother followed that route, my middle brother Dave, and has been a pastor not only in Florida for years, but in Liverpool, England for 14 years. And then I just kind of followed ministry in my life. Outdoor life was there, just the way that I lived and where that I lived. But following God, observing others in my life and noticing a calling in my life when settling down in my spirit to ask God what he has for me. But the equipping looked way different than all the others that I mentioned to you before. I went into rec and parks, literally. Recreation was my field. I loved sports. I loved people. I loved having a message. You know, there was some immaturity with that, necessarily. A lot of pride wrapped up in that. But when I got a chance to be in the field of recreation parks, I had a chance to grow very quickly in helping people where they wanted to be. It was great, and then later into administration. But looking to see how helping families, helping kids, helping teens, helping seniors, there's fitness involved. All the things that came up really played a huge part in ministry. It's all the helping profession. And I look back and see how God equipped those things. And I remember Sunday school as a kid. That's what we called it. And really the answer to every question was Jesus. How many apples are on the tree? Jesus. All right? I just kind of, Jesus was the answer to everything. And I remember growing up and I would sit back and I'd go, the answer is Jesus to everything. Evangelism was very simple to me. You just need Jesus. You know, as an adult, I would pour that out to people often. And some of you are, you know, this morning, you're getting by on your faith because someone else is a Christian in your family. They've helped you or you've observed them. Or possibly you blog and you send out encouraging words to lots of people. And I know people that do that. They work very hard weekly to make sure hundreds of people get encouraged through information and blogging. But maybe some of you have been involved in a small group, perhaps. Maybe an extension of this church. Maybe you started one that's on your own, perhaps. And you feel like that's good enough as far as faith goes. I can get by on that. What I want to suggest to you this morning is this. You cannot. Think carefully here, but you can't. You have to have faith in Jesus Christ and be willing to do whatever it takes to tell your friends about Jesus. You want to believe that. You want to own that. That's what we're talking about this morning, is how to communicate that Jesus is truly the answer. Not attendance, not necessarily revenue numbers. Jesus is truly the answer. How can you say that to your friends and it not be a turnoff is an issue. That if you start talking about God, they actually want to listen to you and hang out. And they don't walk away. What you have to say is important. And I want to dive into this because it's important that you understand we're Jesus' witnesses. We clearly are his witnesses. And there are ways to witness. And it's important to look at them. But more than that, you know, a lot of people have taken this and spun it off, and there's all kinds of stuff. The What Would Jesus Do bracelets, they were huge. You guys remember those? Right? For a while there, bumper stickers everywhere. Everyone was wearing a What Would Jesus Do something, a shirt. I remember watching basketball games where even NBA guys were wearing What Would Jesus Do bracelets. Then they'd get up and foul a guy and cuss the ref out. It was interesting. I don't think Jesus would do that. But it became a fad. People will know you're a Christian by your bracelet. Or maybe the t-shirt that you wear, some say, I've seen turn or burn sucker on bumper stickers and the 405 over there. Will people know they're Christians by that? Maybe. Maybe. Okay. Will people know you're Christian by your bumper sticker? I don't know. I've seen some very powerful marquees in the South. You only have to go out a half a block or so, and there's another one. They tell stories, and they go at it with each other. It's pretty interesting to see how the church marquees do this. I don't know. Maybe somebody will find something there. But what they're going to know is you're a Christian by the friend that you are. This sounds so profound. But the lifestyle you live and the words that you speak, words are critical. Jesus said, "You are my witnesses. Go and tell." Great commission. Here's what I want you to do. Look at Romans 10 this morning. It's in your notes. I know it's a passage we've talked about before, but I really want to kind of dive into this. And if you're a Christian, it's important to share your faith. For anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Circle anyone. I mean it. For some of you, you need to understand anyone can be saved. The person you hate right now, in whatever capacity, whether it's your job, whether it's at school, whether it's a place of your neighborhood, that's a powerful word, but maybe you're using it right now. They can be saved. The mass murderer that's in jail. Well, we've seen that in our own ministries here at church. They can be saved. Anybody who calls on the name of the Lord. Scripture says Jesus Christ is available to everybody, and he's available to you. It's important that you understand that. Anyone who calls on the name. But here's what happens. How can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? How can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? And if you look at this, and we totally flip-flop this, okay, making it backwards and break it down, here's what happens. We have to be sent. For this thing to happen, we have to be sent. God sends us. True? That's what it says. Then he goes, someone's got to tell. Someone's got to hear. Someone's got to believe. Someone's got to ask. I love flipping that over. Here's the importance of good communication. Others will be saved. Write it in. You communicate well, there's a response there. Life change. That's the importance of good communication. The good news will be received. Others will be saved. So who does the sending? God. God sends us. If you're a Christian, he says, I want you to go preach. Hobbs, accept what I'm calling you to do. Go. Teach. Baptize. I want you to tell everybody to the ends of the earth. God does the sending. Who hears? Others. Who believes? Others. I wish that I could beg you to believe. I wish I could believe for you. I'd stand at the door back there, literally. And if you left today, I'd get my hands and knees and hold your hand. Please, please, please. And you'd be like, dude, you're weird. You know, get off me. You have to accept that responsibility. If I could make you believe, I would. But I can't. You have to believe on your own. God does the sending. Others hear. Others believe. But here's your job as a Christian. To tell. And there's ways to go about that. But that's it in a nutshell. And don't blow me off. I'm quoting Jesus' stuff right here. This is it, saying this is what you do. And it's not out of duty. And be careful. It's not out of obligation. It's because of what you received. It's beautiful. You get a chance to tell. But you have to. You have to tell. You have to share your faith. It's important. It's a responsibility. You are my witnesses, Andrew. Accept the challenge. Here's what happens. Christ came to earth, lived a life, had a dynamic ministry, died on the cross. 3 days later, rose from the dead. After that, he spent some time on earth, appeared, talked about 500 people, ascended into heaven. And as he was ascending into heaven, he said something. Scripture says this, his face was covered by clouds. He ascended up into the clouds, he said, Acts 1:8. But when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you'll receive power and will tell people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. That is where Jesus says, you will be my witnesses. Get going. Get going. His last words were important. Most people's last words were. Less than 3 weeks ago, my brother passed away. And as I understand it, I had a chance to talk to the paramedic that was there as they were transporting him. He had a heart attack. They revived him. And he came to, and in transport, it started to act up again. And as I understand what he did, the paramedic went to bring him back again, and he stopped. He stopped. He went like this. He went like this. And he said, no. And in peace, he passed. That was important for me to hear. That was key. I'm paying attention to the last words. Some of you are nodding your heads. You have a relative too. The last words are important. Christ turned around. His last words were recorded, and they're critical. This is what I want to let you know. And I love there's another captured scripture where he says, I've got to leave, but I'm not going to leave. I'm going, but I'm leaving my spirit with you. There is an enemy. The prince of this world is coming. And he says, he has no hold on me. Last words. I needed that one more than anything. He has no hold on me. The enemy of this world has not got a grip on you. Christ can undo that, separate that. That's beautiful stuff. Words are critical. And last words, even more important. It's good. I don't want mine to be something stupid, like, oh, shoot, did I shut the front door or did I leave the window open? You know, my last words. I want to make sure that what I have to say to my kids or something that's important, they're going to receive it. I know that sometimes, though, there are important things that people say, and I just don't get it. The way that I learn sometimes is a little bit, I have to say, could you repeat that one more time? I didn't catch that. Or what you're trying to say, if you've seen The Princess Bride, you know, that little section there, I don't think that word means what you think it means. Well, here is a little description done by video here of a communication that's going on. This is a job interview, and I'd like to just pull one people group out because it's a hot topic these days, millennials. Here's an interview with a millennial. Watch what's said. Watch the mannerisms. Just take a look at what this looks like in communication styles, okay? Let's take a look.
Very good. Are you adept at Excel? Amy, it says you are trained in technology. That's very good. Are you adept at Excel?
No.
PowerPoint?
No.
Publisher?
Not really.
Exactly in what area of technology are you proficient?
Snapchat, Pinterest, Instagram, Vine, Twitter. You know the big ones.
I'm surprised you didn't say Facebook.
People like my parents. That's funny.
Well, Amy, when you're working for me, you have to have those kind of research skills because I'll send you things for you to comb through and get the answers and send them to me. So for that, you've got to be really good at technology.
For stuff like that, no problem. I'll just ask Siri.
You'll just ask Siri?
You know, Siri tell me this, Siri find me that. We're all good getting you the answers.
Tell Siri I want you ready to go at 8 sharp each and every morning.
I don't understand.
What don't you understand?
What you just said.
You don't understand be ready to go?
No. You said 8, right?
Yes.
8 like in the morning, 8?
Yes, in the morning.
Yeah. That kind of doesn't work for me. Who gets up at 8?
I do.
I Skype with my French boyfriend in Paris until like 3 in the morning. I don't even get to Starbucks until like 10, where I order my grande chai tea latte, 3 pumps, skim milk, light water, 2% foam, extra hot, but not too hot. So if it's okay, I work best in the morning at 10:45.
Wow. Amy, I don't think we're going to be a good fit.
Why are you so negative? I can sense your hostilities, and right now I am not feeling very safe. I've been here for over 5 minutes, and the only nice thing you have said to me was nice resume, which I typed all night for this meeting with you. You've given me no guidance, no validation, no encouragement, no supervision. Is there an HR director somewhere?
HR director?
Yes, I need to speak to someone. I may have to take off today as a mental health day.
Take the day off. Amy, look at me. You don't work here.
Are you firing me?
Okay, yes.
Classic communication styles. Just when we think we've said what we meant and they got it, right? Love that. Hey, how about we talk with experience? Let's go there. Write that in. Talk with experience. Let's go there. Talk with many of you. You're afraid to share your faith. You say, hey, people ask me questions all the time. I don't know the answer. I don't have an answer. Where have you heard that before? In Scripture? Where have we heard that before? Where is that story where somebody wants an answer from you and you don't have the answer? Once I was blind, now I can see. I don't have the answer for you. John chapter 9 nails this out of the park, where the blind man was simply being put to the challenge. I want to know what's happening to you and how it happened. And Jesus walks right up, and I think when I look at this story and I see how the blind man, born blind, because I'm going to heal him right now and I'm going to make all of you believe, as he's saying. So he walks up, this guy's blind, could have zapped him, the guy could have seen, but Jesus didn't do that. Okay, he spits in the dirt, hawks a loogie in the dirt, and starts putting him into this mud. And literally, can you imagine the thinking? I'm not going into all the detail, but you hear that sound, you're like, okay, what is he doing to me right now? And this mud appears, the guy's running around telling everybody, you'll never believe what happened to me, after he goes and he washes and he can see. And they drill him in John 9:25 and simply say, what's going on here? The guy who healed you, was it Jesus? They're asking all these questions, trying to trap Jesus. And here's what he says, trying to trap the man. You know, I don't know. All I know is once I was blind, now I can see. And this stuff about him being a sinner, Jesus says, this is an opportunity for God to be glorified. The stuff that you're seeking, be really careful on your motive. Either way, I don't know if he's a sinner or not. What I know is I was blind, now I can see. I don't know everything about Jesus. I just know he did something to me, and I'm not the same. What I want to suggest to you this morning is speak with experience. Talk with experience. It sometimes comes up, and you'll hear it. If God is such a loving God, then why are 40,000 people starving a day? Answer that, Christian man, pastor guy. Come on. Snappy? I say, I don't know. I was blind, now I can see. I don't have a clue. There are things about God I don't understand. And if you're my friend, back off. I don't understand, but here's what I know. I was a sinner. I was on my way to hell. I was going to bust it wide open. My life was in danger, but I gave it to Christ. He changed me. My life is not going to be the same. It hasn't been, and I don't want it to be. It's a change. That's what you say. You talk with experience. Because if you're a Christian, you've been changed. Don't be shy. I don't know the answer. But what I know is this. My life has been changed. People cannot argue with a changed life. The first year we started Wild Men. Skeptics and critics, I mean, even the name, Wild Men, freaked people out all over the place. Even though the name had been around 8 years with 7 or 8 other Wild Men groups. Here on the island, people were just critical. They were upset. It was not understood. Thought it was just a glorified book club. Literally. I'd invite a man, they'd be like, oh, I've heard about this thing going on. And so I just backed off. I backed off of advertising it all over the place, and I just said, you know what? Let the lives of the men and what Jesus is doing be what speaks for itself. Amen? And that is what's changing our small groups and our men's program. Not me. Not something we're inviting them to. It's what Jesus is inviting them to and to enter into. Now, you sit here and go, I can't believe that about a church program. Well, believe it. It happens. I can't be afraid. I'm sorry, maybe the name caught you off guard, but their heart is not tamed anymore. It's wild. Jesus has set them free. You understand the verse, I run in the path of your commands because you've set my heart, what, in duty? In obligation? No, you've set it free. It's wild. That's what we have. Not tame men. Who would come to that? There's a second thing you do. You talk with gentleness. It was hard, but I had to go there, and I'm going there because Christ says this is what you do. 1 Peter 3, instead you must worship Christ as the Lord of your life. And if you're asked about your Christian hope, circle hope, always be ready to explain it, but you must do this in a gentle and respectful way. Andrew, you're a hothead. You need to calm down, son. You're going to ruin what I'm setting up here. And I know you have good intentions. You're a man after my own heart. Calm down.
I'm setting something up. Don't say what you're thinking right now. Hold it captive for a minute. And be patient. Be gentle. Notice it doesn't say when you're ready to explain how God could let 40,000 people die of starvation a day. Notice it doesn't say that. Notice it doesn't say when you're ready to explain where your dog's going to go when it dies. I don't have that one either. Notice it doesn't say be ready to explain hope. We all have hope. It says explain that in a gentle and respectful way the best that you can. Some of you, I know that when it happens, a lot of times we get fired up. And we go home and think, I'm going to totally save my entire family with the information I have. And I'm going hard, man. I'm going to win them all for Jesus. This is Michael. I love this, by the way. He was so fun. You're going to call them, and when you get home, you're going to just go, I just learned about you. You're living a horrible life. You need to come to Christ right now, and you're going to be burning in hell forever. If not, I'll talk to you later. And you hang up. Think about that for a minute. You can't do that. Because automatically they're going to turn you off with gentleness. I had a coach that I coached with that literally cussed so much that I promise you some of the words that he was using, and these are very colorful metaphors, were created cuss words. And I was actually laughed sometimes. And be like, what are you laughing at? I'm like, you just created a cuss word. I've never even heard that before. But the way that you said it, okay? I didn't look at him and say, you know, why are you doing that? You can't do that because automatically he's going to turn me off, and I just didn't want to be pushy with the guy. I certainly would love to correct, you know, what was being said out of his mouth. And I mean, this was more than just normal conversation with a kid. This was flamboyant, and it was just almost like a lack of education. But I didn't want to be pushy to him. And I just said to him in a gentle way, there's other ways to explain how ticked off you are right now. You don't got to create these ways. But I had to be cautious. I don't want to be pushy. And I want to communicate gentleness. Talk with experience. Talk with gentleness. Encourage others. Show them your lifestyle. When you're a good friend to them, so our words begin to communicate. At this point, there's something different. God's love is different. It's all about something different than what I thought. Because you're showing them. It's important. This third thing is confidence. You got to know what you believe and why you believe it. Confidence comes from that. If I were to ask a question of somebody right now, you know, Reed, are you a man? Good. He's confident in that. Okay. Didn't waver, if you noticed. He didn't go, let me think. Okay. He doesn't have to. It's without a question, I understand where I'm at. And I were to look at you and say, hey, are you confident in the fact that you have Christ as your Savior? I see people, they waver. Why, when it comes to Christ, are you not confident? Why do you look confused? I can't explain Christian. When your good friend will look at you and say, are you a Christian? Explain it. Well, I go to church sometimes. And then automatically the answer follows, I don't know. Become so timid, nervous, frail when you start talking about the God of the universe. I understand fear and I understanding a respect for him, but I'm talking about a confidence in him that says, I've been given authority to preach the word. Authority has been given to me, the word itself, right there, authority. You've been given authority to preach God's word. How amazing is that? My brother told me that. I hugged him in a picnic shelter at the memorial service, my middle brother. He just looked at me and said, it's a joy to share pulpits with you. And I said, you too, son. I called him son. And he just looked at me and said, remember, you have authority to do what you're doing. Just a confidence, just a kick in the arm. It was good. I said, you do too. It was almost like saying, may the force be with you. It felt great. Confidence, change life. You have a story. Others want to hear it. And if somebody doesn't, break them down with kindness. Then they'll want to hear your story. I put some great verses in your notes. And if you look at them, there's some great verses there to take this further. It'll help you with your faith. It'll help you with your confidence. Take time to look these up. Don't throw these things out. I don't know what the shelf life is, but allow God's word to never stay on the shelf. Let it be in your lap and living. And this is God's word. Great verses that are there for you to read on your own. Take time to do that. When it comes to your faith, your friends sometimes may not know that you're confident in that or enough. They don't know what you believe because you're not talking with experience or gentleness or even confidence. And for some of you, you go back and forth like a tennis match, you know, going back and forth. Stop that stuff when it comes to sharing your faith. Be confident. Talk with experience, gentleness. Talk with failure when you've failed and success when you've succeeded, understanding God was with you in both. He experienced this together with you. And there's something there for someone to reach out and take for their life that just puts it right into their heart. Last thing you have to do is to go after your friends. Yeah, remember, I flipped this over. Friends are everything. You got to share your faith with your friends. Right now, I'm currently working on a series that I'm not sure when we'll get it done, but it's Get It Together. It's talking about putting story together with your friendships. We just came off of 40 days of prayer. I don't think in my wildest dreams I could have had God preparing me more for this little era of difficulty with health and my family than to have 40 days of prayer going into it. Okay? Now that's me. I don't know what you've got going on, but I want to go ahead and remind you that we pray and we get prayed up for the things that are coming. So take 40 days of prayer, and I hope they're up to 75 right now, and I hope that you see that it has something to do with the context of where you're living right now. Step outside and experience God where you're at presently. What is going on that I need Him for right now? What have I been praying for, and here's the result of my prayers? I need Him. I need Him in my grieving. I need Him in my laughter. I need Him in tough decisions. I need Him when I'm coaching. I need Him when I say no to someone, just like I say yes to someone. I need Him in speaking tenderly to the heart of my daughter. And I need Him when going after, you know, the tears of my oldest son, something he's struggling with. I need Him no matter what the circumstances are. And getting it together, putting together a prayer ministry with the context of how I'm living. There's something about that. I want that to be when I see Christ is always there. You could always talk about God, always. I don't mean to be weird about it. Don't be weird, but understand when you talk about Jesus to someone, they need to understand the context of what you're talking about, right? Break it down so that you're not so saved that people are turned off by that, but they can apply it to the relevance of the life that they're in. What we've done through this whole series is really projected you into friendship evangelism. Your life is bleeding Jesus. The questions that they have are being answered quite simply with who you have become. We could double in this attendance next week if you took this seriously. And if you didn't say that's someone else's job, you're the pastor, you guys are the lay workers, this is how this works. No, you said this is where I'm at. This is what I need to do. But a lot of us don't do it because we're not confident. You don't feel like you have experience. Maybe you don't feel like the words you're going to say are gentle. You come across a little too rough. That's why we're talking about it this morning. My challenge is for you to bring your friends next week. I challenge you to do that. Each week I send out advertisements. I didn't do it today. I didn't do it. I want to see if you would take the challenge from the last 2 weeks. This thing sitting right behind me is one of about 38 that came in. Okay? We have Robbie, we have Dan, and we have Jeff on just this one sticky note. 38 of these came in. And I did my own, and I put more than three on there. These are names of people who live in this community that need to hear the good news. I didn't want you to just put those in the offering box other than to say, I'm offering this to my Savior. It's not for me. I'm praying for these names because each one represents a place in heaven or where. When you don't invite someone, it's like saying, go to hell. You need to hear that. Christ said, go and do this in my name with authority, with gentleness. I got your back. As I close this morning, my encouragement and challenge to you is to pick up on this friendship evangelism. This church and the church of Jesus that's here on this island needs to grow. And I don't mean just numerically. I mean in your discipleship. And this is a key part. This is one of the five biggies, guys, evangelism. It's big. And if you're struggling with confidence or your style, well, these are great notes and great scriptures that will guide you along the way. And our staff are here to do that with you. As we end our service today, I want to pray with you, or I would like for someone to see that we're here and all about prayer, not going anywhere. If I'm not able to pray with you when you come up here or you want to talk, don't leave. We have people that want to pray with you this morning. We're not interested in checking out of here. God sent you here today. Let's do business with him today. He says, go and tell. And I hope this morning that all of you leave here and you will see with gentleness your friends can receive Jesus. Pray with me, if you would. And our worship team can come up. God, thank you for today. I thank you that you're so great to us and you treat us so well. Father, as students in our school and in our colleges, and as people that go back into the workforce even tonight, and as the cruise ship arrives and they're greeted, and the guys that work in the harbor and on the zip line, and both in the hotel and resort, to the city, all these functions, they'll take this message. They'll take it, and they'll take it to heart, knowing that we don't have to have all the knowledge, but there's work to be done. And our lifestyle matters in the workplace and in the school. Father, we represent changed lives. No one can argue that. May we speak with experience, because all of us have been changed. Father, maybe there are people here this morning who have never given their life to you. They want to do that. They want to commit. They want to speak of experience that you've changed them. And God, I pray that before they leave here today, they're going to talk to one of us. And they're going to get a changed life. And they'll process exactly what you're doing to them as we speak through your Holy Spirit. They will continue processing that. So God, we love you and thank you for how you work. We pray that we accept this challenge of sharing our faith with our friends. In your name we pray. Amen. Your lifestyle matters. Your desire to be a good friend matters. Your sensitivity to communicate matters. God uses you to bring people to the good news. That's how it works. Let's get it done. God bless you.